Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, geek boys and girls. Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I am Randy, and I am joined by Justin, David, and Amanda this fine evening. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Fabulous.
Spectacular. How are you, Randy?
You know, I'm a little bit bummed out, I've got to say, because, you know what? We lost a great, great icon in the geek community when Leonard Nimoy passed just earlier this week. And Spock has now moved on, which brings up many questions, but the first thing that came to my mind, and it might show me as being a terribly insensitive person, I'm like, oh shit, that means no cameo in Star Trek 3. And I know his cameo was kind of hinging on, or Shatner possibly appearing, and it was hinging on Spock being around still. Old Spock, that is. So now I'm kind of curious if they're going to be able to incorporate any of the original cast in the new movie whatsoever. So
I'm sure they'll guilt Shatner into doing it because Nimoy's dead.
Well,
especially because Shatner's been all over Twitter, like just being Nimoy's best friend in the world.
Right, exactly. I noticed that too.
Did they not get along for a while?
A long time.
They were like hated each other forever, and supposedly they worked through their stuff, but they were never like openly like buddy buddy. But now that Nimoy's passed, it's. His entire Twitter feed for like 2 days was about, you know, everyone was asking him questions and was answered everything. Like they'd say like, what was your favorite thing about him? His friendship, you know, what did he teach you? How to be a friend. it's just awful and sappy. And, you know, I'm sure they did spend so much time together and their legacies are so intertwined that I'm sure it is a huge shock. And he's greatly saddened by the loss of Leonard Nimoy, but yeah, I think he's kind of overdoing it a bit.
Yeah, I think one of the most profoundly moving images that I saw people posting online over the last few days since it happened is there's two different pictures. One of them is kind of like in like a meeting room on the old Enterprise in the 60s version of the sets, right? And there's Leonard Nimoy and Shatner and DeForest Kelly and James Doohan. Yeah, I couldn't think of his name for a second. Scotty. James Doohan. And then there's an image of the same table, but only with Shatner sitting there and, you know, signifying that all the rest are dead. And it was just kind of a really sad image. And
it's a little morbid.
Well, I mean, it wasn't meant to be morbid. It was just kind of like this. It was just the, I don't know. It just felt more kind of profound and like, aw, kind of thing. And it didn't seem like too soon or morbid, or it wasn't done maliciously. It was just a really sad thing.
No, I don't think it was, but it just seems super depressing.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. Like all those memes and illustrations, like right after Harold Ramis died, like seeing all the Ghostbusters waving to a ghost version of Egon, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, it's not inappropriate. It's just really depressing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Gets the feels machine going.
Agreed.
Absolutely. And I don't like the feel. I don't.
One of Nimoy's last like tweets on Twitter were like, don't smoke, I did and I regret it, live long and prosper.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy.
Do you think that's part of, I don't know, did he have cancer or is he just old?
I mean, he was 83.
I mean, he was very old.
He'd had, you know, different bouts of, you know, cancers and tumors and stuff like that. But I don't think that was the official cause of death. I think it was a heart condition.
But it could have definitely been a contributing factor, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, it's never good to smoke.
Right. And his very last tweet, at least from what I've seen people posting, was really eloquent and it was a beautiful thing. And unfortunately, I don't have it right here in front of me, but it was something to the effect
God,
of...
God, were you bringing it up yet?
No, I'm going to paraphrase it for you. Something to the effect of, life is a garden, there are no perfect moments, but there are beautiful ones that basically only last a moment, and it's up to you, basically you have to preserve them in your memory. So basically, you know, nothing beautiful lasts forever. just remember the great moments kind of thing. And I butchered that, so don't send me hate mail. F all of you. I don't mean F all of you, really. I'm just paraphrasing. But that's basically what I said. It was a very heartfelt, touching thing, and it was if it was truly indeed his last tweet, it was quite profound.
Yeah. So anyway. I can't tweet anymore. That tweet was too perfect. No more tweeting.
Exactly. No more tweeting. Ain't done.
Yeah, so I mean, he was a geek icon, you know. He was a huge portion. You know, everyone loves Spock, and you know, he was William Bell in Fringe. You know, he had a great role in Fringe, and you know, I'm sad.
And that's just one of those things. It's where they're all getting up there in age. All the surviving original Trek cast members, and it's gonna catch up with all of them eventually. Hell, it's gonna catch up with all of us. It's just really kind of sad. In a lot of ways. But
Mark Hamill's going to live forever. Can't kill Luke Skywalker.
Well, now that he learns the secret of eternal life from the dark side.
Shut up.
Yeah, Luke's going full dark side.
He's not.
He's resurrecting Darth Plagueis the Wise.
I'm in for that. Plagueis is pretty cool. He had his own book. And they should can the expanded universe and didn't count anymore.
I don't know. I think backstory stuff going that far back, it wouldn't surprise me if it's still relatively canonical.
If there is canonical. Yeah. I like it.
Well, he did train a young Sheev Palpatine. That was a very underwhelming reveal in the Tarkin novel that Palpatine's first name is Sheev.
That's terrible.
And there was like no fanfare. Like it was like halfway through the book, and it was Tarkin talking about how very few people ever refer to Palpatine by his first name, and blah blah blah. And then like two paragraphs later, it's like Sheev. I'm like, what?
Huh?
Sorry.
Shiv would have been cooler.
Yeah. Shiv with like a little dagger lightsaber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Back.
A light dagger.
Well, like, Palpatine's a sneaky little guy. I mean. It wouldn't surprise me if he's got lightsabers up his sleeves and everything else. Yeah. In the book, didn't he? In the Revenge of the Sith novelization? Or, Labyrinth, one of the ones leading up to episode 3, didn't he have, like, lightsabers up his robe sleeves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the Revenge of the Sith, he had it.
Okay, that was what I thought. And I know he had it, like, concealed inside of a statue in his desk and everything. He had lightsabers hidden all over the place.
Yeah, and then when he knew the Jedi Masters were going to come for him, he took it out of the statue and then he put it up his sleeve.
Yeah.
Like a magician. Nothing up my sleeves. Oh, wait.
Yeah, the Jedi's burst through the door, and all of a sudden he waves his arms, and these white doves start flying out. Oh, shit. Wrong trick.
Doing card tricks. And...
Hold on a second, guys. Time out.
Like that thing where, like, funneled up a newspaper and poured milk into it.
Yeah.
Circus lacked.
Well, speaking of Dearly
Departed.
Rest
in peace, Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah. Speaking of Dearly Departed, I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's been floating around Facebook for the better part of a week now. There is a crazy video. It's like security camera footage from Disneyland after hours, and it shows a ghost walking around. Like literally exiting the Haunted Mansion, crossing the courtyard, and then walking along the river, like the side of the river, along New Orleans right there. And I think at one point he actually like starts walking onto the water towards one of the ships that's waiting over there at the dock.
It looks real to me, Dave. I know Dave doesn't believe in ghosts.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are calling it like it could be a reflection or something, but it is like the guy, it's clearly like a cell phone camera video of a bunch of security screens somewhere at Disneyland. And the guy's going from one monitor to another monitor to another. And he's like following the progress of this thing. So if it was just a reflection, I could see that like maybe giving a ghostly image on one monitor, but not over like four or five or however many different monitors that we end up seeing in this video. And the guy isn't talking or anything, but you hear him breathing all heavily, like, like he's kind of freaking out through the whole thing. And I have to say, Oh, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say that at the same time, I mean, I don't really think it's real. I was reading, I read the article that Justin forwarded to us, and that video is actually from like 2009. It goes back a long time.
Oh, really?
So
that's crazy because I had never seen it before.
I think it just got resurfaced recently because of, you know, the internet.
The power of Reddit.
Yeah. And there's like theories about it being something like, you know, reused VHS tape. It's like shadow from the tape.
Yeah, and I could totally imagine something like that. And if I had the opportunity to sit there and look at the videos a little bit closer, I might be able to tell like what era it's from in terms of the just what's around the park. Exactly. Because if it's VHS, theoretically, it would be fairly old. But, you know, that was my only logical explanation to explain what I saw, is that it could be kind of a ghosting effect, which is ironically titled. But, no, picture it like this. Like, if you guys had an old computer monitor, like the old tube ones, or even an old tube TV, if you left it on one image for too long, it would kind of burn in. Like, I don't know if you guys ever went to an arcade when you were younger, and there's always, like, the menu screen that's, like, etched into those old tube monitors, because it sat there forever until you put a coin in and it burns the image in. So my thinking is that, okay, it's essentially like a burned in image of just the front of the Haunted Mansion without anybody walking through there because it's, you know, it's a camera that would be active after hours. Right. And then, when a maintenance worker or somebody, a janitor even, just walks in front of the camera, you're going to have that image so burnt into the screen that you're not going to see a good clear image of that person. You're just going to see like this weird outline kind of moving that just disturbs the image that's already burnt there. That's the only thing that I could think of would be logical for all of that. But if that's true, it would make those security cameras completely pointless and
right?
useless, really. If that's the case, but it led to a much bigger discussion because a lot of my, because I worked at Disneyland for 6 years and I made a lot of friends there, and a lot of people on my Facebook friends list are former Disney cast members that I worked with. And once that started making the rounds this week, a whole lot of people started sharing their ghost stories. And I knew a lot of different people had a lot of encounters while I was there, but it was really neat seeing them kind of come to life in the form of written out stories, you know, because it's one of those things that we'd all be sitting around in a break room sharing stories, that kind of thing. But to have people remember so many stories this many years after the fact, it really kind of helps me believe that, you know what, I think shit really did happen there. I think these people weren't making it up because they've stuck to their stories after 10 years.
Tell us a story, Randy.
I thought you'd never ask. All right, so I'm going to tell you a couple. I'm going to start with probably the one that affected me the most. Ooh. Yeah. So there I was. It was late one night. It was a closing shift, and it was during summertime. Probably about 2 o'clock in the morning. The park had been closed since midnight, and I was either – I don't remember if it was a point when I was a lead or if I was a manager at that point. Either way, I did the same basic things. I had just we'd sent away all the money from the tills, and I was doing the end of the night closing paperwork, the reports, sitting down there at my desk in the basement in New Orleans Square, which is underneath Pirates of the Caribbean. So you hear the ride going kind of above and off to the side. It's got this dank, damp kind of feel to it because all that flume water leaks out of the ride that was built in the 60s and just kind of had this musty atmosphere down in the basement. I mean, it was so bad. I'm getting sidetracked, but it was so bad. No. Black mold was growing on the walls while I was working there. And they had teams of people coming in with these little things that would read like the toxicity in the air that we were breathing on a daily basis down there.
And they're like, oh, not toxic enough yet.
Exactly. There was an established level of, all right, you can breathe up to this much toxins. If it goes past the black line here, then we actually have to scrape it off the walls. And it was something terrible. I think all of us that worked down there had our lives reduced by several years. But that's a story and a lawsuit for another time, perhaps. Hey, this podcast is going to be used as evidence later on. Class action lawsuit. Back to the story. 2 in the morning, sitting there doing paperwork. And And I hear some stuff falling off the shelves. And I look up over this little half cubicle wall separating the manager's desk area from the rest of the stockroom down there. And I see that a couple plaster skulls from Pieces of Eight, the pirate shop, had been knocked onto the ground. It's not unusual that stuff would sometimes kind of fall off the shelves down there, because we actually used to have a rat problem. That's the thing. In that dank, dark, damp atmosphere, there'd be a lot of rats. That, and we had a lot of food stuff down there because we also stored stock for a candy cart down there, and rats love that shit. So so I went down there and I picked up the items that had fallen, totally expecting to see a rat or something, basically giving evidence that a rat had been there, and nothing. And I thought it was odd because what got knocked off were these plaster skulls that were probably about 5 or 10 pounds each. They were solid plaster, big ass skulls, and they were wrapped in bubble wrap. So it would have taken a fair amount of force to knock one of these things off the shelf. I didn't think anything of it. I just kind of shook it off and went back to the desk to finish up my paperwork. Within a couple minutes later, again, I hear something fall, and then I look up over the cubicle wall just in time to see one of these plaster skulls literally shoot horizontally from one side of the aisle, smacking into the racks on the other side of the aisle, and then boom, falling to the ground. Something that it couldn't have been knocked off. It looked like it had so much force behind it that it would have been like thrown across the room. I was the only one down there, of course. I was like, oh, fuck this. I'm out. Packed up my shit and got the hell out of there. It was.
Did you pee at all?
Maybe two drops. It was terrifying. And I went out the back door, which was a bad idea because the back door out of this basement stockroom leads you through a small section inside Pirates of the Caribbean, and then you end up going out above the line for the Indiana Jones ride to get out to this like back loading dock area. And it's terrifying at night after dark because it's not well lit and it's probably even more full of ghosts than the basement was. But I had to find the nearest door and just bolted. But that's the kind of thing that makes like all the hairs on the back of your neck stand up and just gives you the shivers just thinking about it. Terrible, terrible stuff.
Did you say shiver me timbers?
Shiver me timbers.
Since you were in the pirate section.
I know. And the funny thing is, if I was a lead at the time, I probably was wearing a pirate costume. I don't remember the exact time frame that this happened. But awesome. Yeah, crazy, crazy stuff. And this is actually an interesting story from another manager of mine that I had heard even before this happened to me. She'd been working down there, similar situations. It was late at night. She was doing closing paperwork, and there was this big binder. And months before, she had lost this one earring or something, right? And she could never find the earring. She had the binder open, was writing something down in it, looked away, did something else, looked back down at the binder, and then there's this earring that she had lost months ago. And granted, maybe it could have somewhere been hiding and just fell at just the right moment to land on the binder, but she always thought that was the ghost doing a good deed and returning it to her. I thought that was kind of interesting. That's kind of showing the softer side, the more pleasant side of the
of haunted
of the spooks that happen to inhabit Disney.
Well, it is a Disney ghost, so it's got to be a nice, friendly ghost like Casper.
Right. Well, okay, then there's the gray lady. And what would happen with her is up in the Disney gallery. Now, the gallery used to be up above Pirates of the Caribbean. Now they have it as kind of like this super duper VIP suite where people who spend a lot of money or are uber VIPs can stay there overnight. It's kind of like Walt's apartment or Walt's second apartment, because his main one was on Main Street above the fire station when Disneyland was being constructed, and even for years after it had opened, a lot of times he would actually stay there. And there's actually a ghost story revolving around that too. You could always tell when Walt was staying in his apartment on Main Street because the light would be on in the window, the little lamp. Now, it would only be on when he was staying there. Years after his death, somebody looked up, like a custodian or somebody in maintenance, what have you, looked up and saw that the light was on in there. It was like, oh, that's not supposed to be on. Went up, turned it off, came back down, looked back up, and the light was back on. Basically, that was just kind of like Walt's ghost saying, hey, I'm still here. hey, asshole, I'm still here. Don't turn off the lights. So now they just kind of leave it on all the time. But every time they tried turning it off, it would always turn itself back on.
You hear that, Dave?
What?
But let me get back to the lady of the gallery. So a lot of people work in the old Disney gallery would report seeing this, like, female image kind of from, like, the knees up. She would just be floating there. And you kind of would catch it in your peripheral vision, and then you go to kind of look at it, and then she would be gone. And the Disney Gallery, what it was is they had a lot of artwork, a lot of concept art for the Disney parks, and a lot of just really fine art pieces that were done. And it was also a store above and beyond being like a little museum. It was a store, and a very select few people were selected to work there. And most of them were kind of in the older age bracket because they were very knowledgeable about all things Disney. So, I mean, these weren't like kids straight out of high school making up ghost stories. These are people that had been around for a while, and most of them didn't believe in that shit, but they couldn't explain what they saw. And there were so many experiences that they had. In fact, there was this one manager that nobody liked, this short little lady with big poofy hair, right? And I don't remember what she was doing up there one day, but she was right by the cash register area. And to get to the cash register, it's like this bar. And, you know, in certain bars, you have to, like, pull up this wood panel. Like, part of the bar itself, you tilt it up to walk through it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how you would get to the cash register area up there at the gallery. And the little movable section of the bar was swung upwards, allowing people entrance and exit. And the manager was standing there, and the little bar section just crashed down on her head. Nobody touched it. Of course, sure, it could have been an accident, could have been the breeze. Everybody blamed it on the ghost. See, the ghost didn't like her either. But no, it's fascinating stuff. I'm sure we
ghost
can
talk.
I'm sure we have some more fun, happy stuff to talk about. What's going on in the world of Spider-Man there, David?
Well, with no black mold and flume water infused hallucinations, that's for sure.
Give it time.
Yeah.
Give it time.
That's how it gets its powers, Dave, from the flume water and black mold.
Well, I don't know. According to Latino Report, our good buddies, they got some Spider-Man news, and some of it good, some of it great.
Latino Report looks like, or Latino Review?
What'd I say?
Report.
It's late. Whichever one. Pick one. They probably both reported it. Latino Review reports. Drew Goddard, who was the original showrunner on the Daredevil series for Netflix, he actually left the Daredevil show because he was going to direct and write the Sinister Six spinoff movie based off the Amazing Spider-Man 2. We all know Amazing Spider-Man 2 was a god-awful piece of terrible crap.
What?
Who should have had a ghost, Electro. So they kind of shit-canned a lot of their future plans. Luckily, Marvel came along, and Marvel and Sony were able to make a deal. We know we're in July 2016, we're going to get a... July 2017, we're going to get a new Spider-Man movie. And if rumors are to be believed, Mr. Drew there is going to write and direct it. So that's fantastic news. But probably even better than that news is they're also reporting that it will not be an origin tale. That everyone knows who Spider-Man is, where he came from. That the movie will open with Spider-Man being an established hero, and that they want to cast young and have the teenager age with the show, with the series. So we'll get a really young Peter Parker. Andrew Garfield was great, but he's 31, so he's, I guess, an older Spider-Man. what do you guys think? Does this excite you, Justin? You thrilled with all you hear, or is anything giving you apprehension?
No, totally cool with it, man. I'm excited. No apprehension whatsoever. I like Spider-Man. I like him as a kid, and I like to see him grow up and be a fine young man Spider-Man.
Awesome. Well, Randy, are you sad, Randy, that you're not going to get to see Uncle Ben get murdered for like the 300th time?
Not at all. I'm all about skipping the foreplay and getting right to the good stuff.
Oh. You got a lucky wife there.
You know it.
Or does just get he? In.
Just get in, get out, just be done.
No, but seriously, though, you're right. We've seen the origin story so many times. Do we really need to see it again? No. Go right for the good stuff.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Killing Gwen Stacy.
Oh,
that's not the good stuff.
I like Gwen Stacy.
I did too.
I like
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone, yeah.
Not Bryce Dallas Howard in Spider-Man 3.
I like Emma Stone, though, and she was a lovely... I can't even think right now. I'm looking at a picture of Red Sonja, and it's distracting me.
She was a lovely Gwen Stacy, and Andrew Garfield was a lovely Peter Parker.
And all I kept wanting to say was Red Sonja, because I'm staring at this stupid, stupid photo, and it's so dumb. I can't believe that I'm drawing a blank. But yes, and then at one point I almost said Gwen Stefani, like an idiot. But yes.
I like Gwen Stefani.
Emma Stone was a wonderful Gwen Stacy. I like Gwen Stefani, too.
Anyway.
She was a no doubt.
She's like unrecognizable now.
Yeah, she looks weird. That's all.
You know who else looks weird? The Joker. You like that segue there?
I do. The king of segues, and Joker is the prince of crime. A lot of royalty in this podcast.
Serious.
You know, all this time I thought that the inventor of the segue had died on a segue, but I found out that that was a false story.
It sounds like an urban legend to me.
I thought he drove the segue off a cliff.
No,
and it blew up in midair. Like an 80s movie.
Like a Michael Bay movie.
Whoever it was who rode a Segway off the cliff, it wasn't the guy who invented it.
John
Segway. Because that guy is still alive.
It was his brother.
So he faked his death.
Yeah.
For the insurance money.
To get money, yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I ruined your Segway.
It's a great Segway, Randy.
It's cool. It's all right.
What about the Joker?
I don't know.
What about the Joker, Randy?
He's lovely.
Fuck him. Moving on. Aliens.
Oh, he's majestic, right? Is that what?
Yeah. David Ayer, who is directing the Suicide Squad movie, dubbed the Joker as majestic. Ooh. So that's cool. He's also been described as Shakespearean and a wonderful mess. So, yeah. Let's be curious to see how that's all going to work out. Everyone on board seems to be pretty high on Mr. Leto, that he's going to be able to pull it off. And, you know, he's the kind of batshit crazy actor if anyone can pull it off, it's him. He's got that wicked ponytail that Justin loves. It just looks like it just got cut off.
So. Ugh. I don't.
You gotta look, Justin.
I don't like the PT.
You have to get your hair doll from someone else.
Yeah.
Well, from hearing all this wonderful stuff about the new iteration of the Joker, I could not be more excited to see. For myself. With my own eyes.
Is he going to have a hand buzzer? And an acid
spray? A spraying flower.
Yeah. Or maybe like a giant sledgehammer. That'd be fun.
I don't know if it's art.
Like Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn played by the amazing Margot Robbie.
Yes. Amazing.
See, we can finally be on the same page about the name.
I like it. It's a big page.
Doesn't it feel good?
Mm-hmm.
It's still spelled Robbie, though.
No.
Yeah, it is. Will Smith's going to be in it.
On the paper, it is.
Viola Davis, maybe Joel Kinnaman. He was RoboCop, you know.
Oh, I didn't like that movie.
It was so terrible. Like, I'm pretty sure Samuel L. Jackson shot his entire role for RoboCop in, like, 6 hours. It's all in the same room.
A half day in a green screen.
Studio. Yeah. That must have been, like, the cushiest job. And I'm sure he got, like, $10 million for it.
Using words like robophobic.
Terrible. Some movies should not be remade.
Like Alien.
Spoon-feeding it to you, Randy.
As I say, well, that's okay, because it's not being remade. We're getting an Alien 5. How awesome is that?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Or should it be like 2.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely see it as more of a 2.5 because it's kind of going to be a more direct sequel to Aliens, which I'm okay with because that is my favorite film of the franchise. For me, what really sold me on it is... Bill Paxton, for sure. No, but...
They should call it Aliens 2.
The Aliens versus... Yeah, Aliens versus the Marines. That's all it was. Just a bunch of fucking dudes...
And girls,
just a bunch of roided out motherfuckers with weapons, just hunting down these fucking crazy
robots.
Aliens.
But they had a hard time using their weapons because there was all that crazy gas on the planet, and it would ignite or something. So they brought all the really cool shit that they couldn't even use.
Yeah. That's just a lot of machine guns is what ended up being used. But
And the motion
trackers. That's creepy. That shit freaked me out as a kid.
Yeah, that ping sound is nuts.
Yeah. But to have it be reflected as a direct sequel to Aliens, originally, it kind of led us to believe that Alien 3 and 4 weren't going to be in canon anymore. Like, this movie was going to kind of negate it and pretend it didn't exist. But apparently, and this is just an article that came out today, saying that 3 and 4 are still going to be respected. It's still going to be part of the Alien story. This is just something that somehow fits in between. Does that sound about right to you guys? Is that how you interpreted that as well?
Yeah, that's how I'd say it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I mean, it's easy territory to tread. I mean, since it's going to take place before 3, it's easy not to just... All they have to do is just not kill Ripley, basically.
Yeah, you're just going to have to suspend your disbelief on the whole aging thing.
Yeah, I mean, everyone else can be killed. You just can't kill Ripley.
Yeah. Well, because, Michael Biehn is supposed to be back, and there's pictures of him, like some of the concept artwork. His face is all scarred up and shit. He's all crazy looking. And somebody at a convention just this past weekend was getting his autograph and asked him, "So, going to be in the new Alien movie?" And he just kind of grinned and said, "Looks like it." So awesome. That's pretty much an admission right there. I don't know if it's officially been released, but that was just the word from the geek crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Word on the street.
I like that guy, man.
Yeah. Came into that.
He's good people.
Yep.
Yeah, what's cool about the Alien movie seems cool because it's kind of like the Spider-Man movie we were talking about earlier, is they both seem to be moving pretty quickly. like the studios aren't messing around, like they're channeling this excitement that the fan base is giving them, and they're starting to like move forward with decisions, and I think we're going to see this Alien movie a lot sooner than we think, which is good.
I like Alien 3. Not the one that was released, but the director's cut, David Fincher's real version of the film. It's a whole different experience, and you should check it out if you get a chance.
That's cool. I've never seen that. I've seen the theatrical release. I've never seen the director's cut.
Yeah, it's a whole other movie. It's pretty good. It's completely different. It's just bizarre how much they removed. What's that?
Are there any weapons in it? Because I remember it being a prison colony that had pretty much no weapons.
Yeah, no, there are no real weapons, but it's just done differently. It's just a whole nother film. It has David Fincher's name all over it when you watch this new version.
Yeah. And there's Alien 4, Alien Resurrection, which has no redeemable qualities.
No, it's pretty terrible.
Oh, it's got your buddy Winona Ryder in it.
It does. It also has Dan Hedaya. I like him.
And Hellboy.
And Ron Perlman. He's an asshole, like in every movie he's ever in.
Yeah. I could see Michael Biehn as Cable. There was talk of Cable showing up in comic book movies, and I think that Michael Biehn would make a good Cable.
Yeah, I'd buy him in Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't cast that young kid, whose name I've already forgotten. They cast someone recently, and he didn't have a role, and so there were some rumors that he might be a young Cable.
Oh.
But I don't want a young Cable. I want a Cable that's older than Cyclops.
Yeah.
That's what's cool about Cable. He's the son, but he's like 20 years older than the dad.
And he's all fucked up.
Yeah.
Been in the shit. Yeah.
Face. Cool. Stop fucking around. So you all excited about another Aliens movie?
Yes.
Are you more excited because it's Blomkamp, or are you excited just at the prospect of another Aliens?
If
Zack Snyder was doing it, you'd be just as excited.
Well, not exactly excited. I would be...
Interested?
Interested, yes, but I just love the Alien franchise. There's just something about those xenomorphs that's just fucking cooler than anything else, and I love to revisit that franchise whenever I can.
Yeah, my only concern is that Blomkamp kind of hates humans. Like, he hates people. Like, all his movies are about how terrible and awful people are.
Because they are, Dave.
Yes, but, you know, Alien is based around a central heroine, and, you know, it's based around, you know, she knows that the world sucks, but, you know, she's kind of like the hero. So I don't want to see, like, I don't want to sympathize with the aliens, is what I'm saying.
I see.
I want them to be just the innumerable faceless killers.
I don't think that'll be a problem in this movie, because you'll like all, at least the three main characters, that being the little girl.
Oops.
And, yeah, what's a Newt? and Hicks and Ripley, what's not to like? I mean, maybe if they bring in big business with Weyland-Yutani or something, you can hate those guys. Or wherever they their next destination is, you can hate those people. But you will like the core characters.
They'll bring back Paul Reiser.
I don't think so. He did not make it.
It doesn't end well for him.
You can bring back Bishop.
Nope. They all go boom.
Well, he's an android, though.
Yeah, but he was ripped in half.
Yeah, but there could be others.
He makes it just all the way to three.
I know, but
doesn't he get like plugged in, just like part of him or something like that for three? Yeah.
But that was the first time he was turned back on since the incident.
Oh, okay.
Touche. Well, doesn't also the beginning of three show like the life pods that Newt was in and like all the other members of the crew that survived at the end of Aliens? Doesn't it kind of show that they all died?
Yeah, they drowned in their fluid or whatever.
You see like the cracked pods.
There was like
I remember that.
That's
very sad.
Yeah.
I saw that movie at the Cinedome.
Did you really?
Did.
Man, I saw it at the military base theater in 29 Palms. I was in sixth grade.
You left incensed. You're like, this will not stand.
Yeah.
Who is this Fincher? He'll never work again. What does he know about making movies?
Yeah, I might as well be an Alan Smithy movie because it was not a Fincher film when it was all said and done.
No, yeah. It's got flashes in the theatrical cut, but yeah, it's definitely, you can tell it was, there was heavy influence on Fox's end.
Yeah. What else we got?
I got a fun list for you guys.
What?
Yeah.
How fun?
I figured it kind of fit with our Disneyland ghost stories. I've got six incredibly creepy Disneyland urban legends. And a lot of these I can vouch for from having seen, done, or just overall been around for.
Like underground Disney, where it's a whole thriving metropolis under the city streets?
That is actually completely false. Disney World is actually built above sea level, above the actual ground level in the area there. And there are entire tunnels that large semi-trucks could drive through to get from one end of the park to the other by just going underneath.
But Disneyland, not so much.
Disneyland, not so much. Because the way it was built, it was not built up, you know, and they didn't really dig anything much underneath. The reason why there's a lot going on underground in my area of the park in New Orleans is because it was built up. You'll notice, like, when you go from Main Street and you're walking across Adventureland to get to New Orleans, there's, like, you go up and over, like, a little bridge, or you kind of go up this hill. It's because everything that was built in that area was built up.
Oh.
So, yeah, just a little history lesson. Those of you who think there's a big hidden underground anything, there really isn't.
Maybe a couple churro carts and that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. There's some bathrooms, that's about it. But, scattering ashes at Disneyland. This is a big thing. And this is actually something that was brought up in one of those threads from that video that was posted on Facebook. This is something that we encountered all the time. People's loved ones adored Disney, and they wanted to have a little piece of their loved one left behind at Disneyland for what they consider to be eternity, right? So what do they do? They'll take a little bit of their ashes, and they'll scatter it inside of a ride. The two most popular rides that this happened in was Pirates of the Caribbean, which is really disgusting when you put dried human in water, right? Because it's going to turn into like human oatmeal sludge paste. That's just disgusting. But I don't know why I'm laughing. It's gross. But but Pirates was number one in Haunted Mansion. Those are the two top rides that people would scatter ashes in. And it's funny, they actually ended up having to install security cameras so that every single point of the ride was within view of somebody in the operating tower. And if somebody saw like a little bit of ashes getting spread discreetly out of the vehicle, they'll actually stop the ride. Security will come in and escort the person out because it is technically a biohazard. You are disposing human remains, human waste, in a very public place, and that's just wrong on so many levels. I always thought they had cameras everywhere just to catch people fooling around on the rides and the dark rides at that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
I think you'd be better off trying to do it like in Tom Sawyer's Island or something.
Exactly. And there's a lot more discrete places. And even if you did, let's say, scatter it inside
of a little caves. I'd do it on the Skyway if it was still around.
Yeah. Dump it next to the abominable snowman or whatever when fucking
when you go through Matterhorn.
But you have to realize that no matter where you scatter it there, they clean that place so thoroughly, so regularly, mm-hmm. that it's not gonna stay there for long. Right. You know, even if you get away with the discreet scattering of those ashes, it'll be there like a week tops or whatever. If you do it in, let's say, on the flowers and the big Mickey head at the entrance there or whatever, you know, it'll be there for about a week before the sprinklers have completely out. Before the sprinklers have completely washed it into the soil, which I guess in that point it is kind of like being there permanently because you're in the dirt, but just about anywhere else in the park, it's going to get swept up, it's going to get tossed out. If it's in a ride, it's going to get swept up, vacuumed up, whatever. The worst was this. Okay, this is actually kind of funny. You know, they totally do up the Haunted Mansion for the holidays. They do Nightmare Before Christmas in there, and they have all this fake snow in the graveyard scene, and it's all like this cottony kind of material. Same thing like if you were to go to a craft store and you want to set up like a little holiday scene at your house, they have that like fake snow stuff you just kind of roll out in a big sheet, and it's super super plushy, but it's super fibrous and there's all sorts of little holes in it. Well, somebody dumped a big old pile of ash into that fake snow, and you can't like vacuum it out. You have to just remove that whole snow piece because it is like in the fibers. It's just fucking, it is disgusting, and there's no cleaning it up. And I remember it being down for like the better part of a day, if not longer, because there was bits of human inside of the snow, and they actually had to completely take it out and dispose of it and put in fresh snow. Just bad.
That's pretty gross. Normally, it's kind of gardeny where the cemetery stuff is, though.
Yeah, but I mean, it's all fake. Just and it's really dusty, dirty. I mean, if you ever have the opportunity to go in there and take like a flashlight, or just, you know, sometimes they'll have special events where people can walk through certain rides for annual pass holders, that sort of thing. If you ever saw it with the lights on, it is just dirty and cobwebby and
maybe do it when you go down Splash Mountain. When it takes your photo, you just throw it all up in the air.
But then again, I mean, you end up with human soup because it's going to go in the water. It's gross.
Or can you imagine Space Mountain? It's all dark, and then all of a sudden you just get hit with all kinds of fucking ash in your face. Your mouth is open because
your mouth is open. Yeah, your eyes are open. Oh my god! And it's not just ash; it's like bits of bone teeth, I know, and it's shit. Gross. Oh,
yowza! All
right, next one. Nicknamed Mr. One Way, apparently back in the 70s, somebody died on Space Mountain, and now it's said that his ghost resides inside the ride, and whenever there's a single rider, the seat next to you is open, supposedly somewhere in the middle of the ride, somebody will appear in that seat next to you, and it's this guy that died. And they don't know a whole lot about him. They call him Mr. One Way because he had a one-way trip, and he is apparently a ginger. And it's funny because a lot of people kind of that are aware of this urban legend, they kind of ham it up because at the end of the ride it takes your picture, so they'll kind of react as if there's a person sitting there next to them. So that's a thing. So, and this one, there's really no way to back it up. I don't know how true it is, but at one point in time, right after the Haunted Mansion opened, supposedly it was so scary inside there that somebody actually had a heart attack and died inside the ride.
Oh no.
And ever since then, they toned it down so it's not as scary. I don't think that ride was ever scary, but I suppose if you're easily startled, there are little things that jump up, you know, behind tombstones when you're going through the graveyard scenes. There's little things that are meant to just kind of startle you, like when you're in a scary movie and something just flashes in front of the screen real quick. It's not scary. It's just startling, you know? So supposedly that is an urban legend. I don't know how much truth there is to that.
I like the elevator, and I like the paintings as you're going through the hallway before you get on the ride.
That's definitely sufficiently creepy, too.
What elevator? Those? Are you telling me those paintings aren't actually stretching?
Exactly.
Are you saying it's my imagination?
I am. I don't like it when my Doom buggy has to wait because somebody needs assistance getting on or off the ride.
Yeah.
It and hinders my experience, Randy, and I don't appreciate it.
But sometimes it gives you the opportunity to sit there and really, if you do get stuck in one area, mm-hmm. you can kind of inspect it. You can look at it a little bit more closely than you would if you were kind of zooming past it.
I guess that's true.
But I like it in Buzz Lightyear when someone needs assistance and I can just sit there and blast a target in front of me.
Get a top score for the day.
Rapid fire.
Yeah.
Get like 4 million.
Oh, I love that. That ride is still fun to this day. I love just going on there and shooting shit. Good times. So the next one on our list here, the dolls inside of It's a Small World. Apparently, some of them, after hours, have been known to come to life on their own, and they're said to be inhabited by the ghosts of dead former employees of Disneyland. So even after you die, your soul is still owned by the mouse. Now, this is a ridiculous story that I don't really necessarily believe in. And this coming from the guy who was just a few minutes ago telling you his own ghost stories. But this one sounds a little far-fetched to me.
Goes to show you, if you've been around for 60 years, people are going to make up all kinds of weird shit.
I guess so. But then again, I can't really say one way or the other because I didn't work that area of the park often. And I never went over there after hours to go exploring. So who knows what kind of crazy stuff could happen.
Actually, Randy, I'm pretty sure you can comment on if little figurines on Small World come to life. I think the answer is no.
Oh, well, true.
You got that, Randy.
I will say this as well. There is a picture floating around, and this is something that I may have brought up to you guys before, but it was just a random 35mm photo that someone took like back in the 90s or 80s or whatever, inside of It's a Small World, and supposedly you can see the body of a young boy dangling from the rafters from the ceiling.
Shit.
Do you guys remember that? Did I ever tell you that before?
I don't remember that, but that sounds nuts.
I'm telling all of you listening to this right now, if you Google it, Google boy hanging inside Small World Disneyland. I don't know what that's going to come up with because I'm not Googling it at the moment, but I'm pretty sure this image might come up. And you'll see that it was just a photo that someone took of their family inside the ride or something. You see like the backs of heads of people inside the boat. And, you know, you see stuff around there and you just see like a dangling little boy, which I don't even know the physics of how that would have happened, how he would have been able to hang himself or how he would have got up there. It could totally be faked, but it is a creepy as hell image. And that could very well be a little playful spook inhabiting the dolls over at Small World.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So.
Oh, shit.
Here's another one. And this is a former employee. And this is a story that I heard when I worked there. Now, currently, over where all the Iron Man suits of armor are located and the whole Marvel experience thing inside Inventions, it used to be a thing called America Sings. And they actually still have it over at Disney World in Florida. And, before America Sings, it was the Carousel of Progress. And that's actually what's still at Florida. And what it was is it was this giant rotating theater, and it would take you through three or four different animatronic scenes, and it would just kind of show you the progression of time and technology, that sort of thing. And it, you know, it showed the 20s, the 40s, the, you know, 50s, 60s era, and then it ended in like the 70s or 80s. Actually, I think it was the 80s because they had like big brick cell phones and silly looking outfits, but it was supposed to show the progression of time, and they never updated the ride beyond that. It's a really kind of fun, quaint thing to do if you ever have the opportunity to check it out and you're at Disney World. But anyway, the Disneyland version, there was a cast member that was working there, and when the whole theater rotates, apparently you have to stand well clear from the walls because this unfortunate person did not and was actually crushed by the rotating wall. And this was back in 1974, and it's a terrible thing, and apparently her ghost has been known to hang out on the east side of the park, and that's right over in Tomorrowland, and that's right where I was telling you where that whole Helter Skelter thing was going on. I'm not saying it's this chick, but I'm just saying she's over there mingling with some bad spirits, possibly.
That's a shame.
That is terrible. And then, actually, it's funny, because number one on my list here is one that I already told you guys, and that's Walt haunting his old apartment. And that's the light turned on in the window right above the fire station on Main Street at Disneyland. They kept trying to turn it off, and the ghost of Walt kept turning it right back on.
What a fuck.
Whether you believe it or not, now the light is always kept on, and they believe that the spirit of Uncle Walt himself watches over his people, his subjects, every day at Disneyland.
His people?
His people. Let my people
The chosen go. People?
Yeah. The chosen people. So, there you go.
There's some really neat photos. If you, like, Google Disneyland through, like, different decades and stuff, you can see just how the park has evolved over the years.
Yes, there's a website called Yesterland where this guy is curating this ultimate list of, like, not only images but video. Uh-huh. And it's definitely worth checking out because, yeah, it has every single ride from, like, the day they were open. It has, like, some from, like, when they're being built and stuff. And it's definitely a cool place to go to, like, check out, like, especially rides that aren't there anymore.
Right. And if you were there, like, you know, for us, we're lucky because we got to be at Disneyland throughout the 80s when there was still a lot of this really old shit there. And it just brings back so many memories looking at some of these photos. Cracking me up, dude. Like those country bears and fucking that. What was the one store that had all the science, like Swatch like Watch
Mission to Mars play, like yeah, it was right across from Star Tours.
Premier Shop. Yeah. And it had all those weird knickknacks and things. Yep. Oh my god, that is nuts. The People Mover, is People Mover still there?
No.
Or is it something different now?
There's nothing there now. It was the Rocket Rods.
Rocket Rods, that's right. Yeah, and then I had like this whole idea of what the future was going to look like and everything in there. It was cool.
It didn't work because even the future.
Yeah, stupid place. Man, that is cool. I remember when Splash Mountain first opened, and you had the line was wrapped around the whole goddamn park, and it took like 4 hours to get on it.
Shit, if you go on a hot day, it's still that long.
Is it really?
Like, yeah, it still gets like over 2 hours on like a hot day.
God, that's nuts.
I'm like, no, thank you. I don't want to get wet or wait in this line.
Yeah, that's crazy. I remember when Toy Town opened. That was exciting.
Yeah, there's a big movement because Bob Iger, who runs the Walt Disney Corporation, they really want to do an influx of Star Wars, and you know their original goal was to just retrofit Tomorrowland, but now they're talking about maybe doing a bigger expansion. And so what a lot of people are suggesting is to tear down Toontown and make it a Star Wars land instead.
Ooh,
I could get behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because no one cares about fucking Toontown. My kids don't even like Toontown. I mean, they're kids. They should love Toontown. They'll run around in that stupid Donald Duck boat all day. But other than that, they're like, eh, let's go do something fun.
Yeah, it's not really relevant anymore. I have a game.
Ooh, let's play.
All right. So, just in the spirit of ghosts and scariness, I thought I would make a fun game based off of horror movies. Ooh. But you don't have to know jack shit about horror movies, okay?
Oh, thank God.
This game is called Higher or Lower, like Price is Right. And all I'm going to do is pitch a number at you, and you're going to tell me whether it made, whether its opening weekend was higher or lower than the dollar amount that I just gave you.
I like it.
Okay.
Easy.
Are we all?
Amanda, are you awake? Are you here? Yeah. No, I'll ask all of you. You can all say.
Okay.
I'll keep score that way. You all get a shot.
Sweet.
Are you ready?
Oh. Do it.
This is easy, man, I promise.
Okay.
All right, number one. The Shining was first released in May 26, 1980. Was the opening weekend higher or lower than $1 million?
Higher.
Lower.
Lower.
Google. Okay. It is lower. So David and Randy get a point. Sorry. All right. Number two. 28 Days Later was released on June 29th, 2003. Was the opening weekend higher or lower than $9 million?
Higher.
Higher.
I'm going to say lower because I think it started slow.
It is higher.
Nope.
Amanda has one. David has two. All right. Okay, yeah. So let me give you actual figures here. I skipped a part. So actually, Shining made $622,000. So everyone that said lower was, of course, correct. And then 28 Days Later, those of you that said higher, which was Amanda and David, it actually made $10 million. $10,061,000. How about that? Number three. The Blair Witch Project.
People like their Sandra Bullock.
I know. The Blair Witch Project was released on August 1st, 1999. Was the opening weekend higher or lower than $28 million?
Higher.
Lower?
Go lower as well.
It was higher. It actually pulled in $29 million. David has three.
$1 million.
Exactly. Number four, The Conjuring was released on July 21st, 2013. Was the opening weekend higher or lower than $40 million?
Higher.
Lower.
Higher?
It is higher.
Damn it. I keep saying it's like a true false test.
I know.
If you keep answering false, eventually you're going to get one right.
David has four, Amanda has two. All right. Randy, you still are at number. You still have one.
Thank you.
Yeah, I made $41,855,326. And this is all in the U.S., of course, not globally. All right, number five, Nightmare on Elm Street. This was released on November 11th, 1984. Was the opening weekend higher or lower than $2 million? Amanda.
Lower.
Dave. Dave says lower. Amanda, what do you say?
Oh, sorry.
Lower?
Randy, what do you say?
I got to be contrary and go higher.
It was lower. It actually
did
$1.2 million. David has five. Amanda has three.
The one time I switch it from lower to higher.
No, no, it's fine. There was just no one was saying anything, so.
Oh, okay.
It's fine. Number six. Jaws was released on June 22nd, 1975. Was the opening weekend higher or lower than $5 million? David, go.
Higher.
Amanda.
Higher.
Randy.
I'm going to say higher as well.
Perfect. All three of you. Higher. Made $7 million.
Copycats.
David has six. Amanda has four. Randy has two. All right. Shaun of the Dead was released on September 24th, 2004. Was the opening weekend higher or lower than $8 million? David, go.
Well, lower.
Randy.
Lower.
Amanda.
Higher.
It was lower. It actually made 3.3.
I was like, I want to go along with the crowd, but I don't know anything about this stuff. I should just say whatever Randy and David says.
All right. Randy has three. Amanda has still four. Dave, you're still in the lead with seven. All right. Number eight. Scary Movie was released on July 9th to the year 2000. Was the opening weekend higher or lower than $30 million? David.
What was the number, 30?
Yeah.
You said, okay, higher.
Amanda.
Higher?
Randy.
I'm going to go with Google and say higher.
It was higher. $42 million.
And I was totally joking. I didn't look at Google, but...
Liar.
David has eight, Randy has four, Amanda has five. All right. Number nine in The Golden Snitch. The Ring was released on October 20th, 2002. Was the opening weekend higher or lower than $20 million? David.
Lower.
Randy.
Higher.
Amanda.
Lower.
It was lower.
Yay!
David comes in at 158 points in the House Cup. Amanda's in second with 155, and Randy has four.
Woo!
Every Not week, yet. Obsessing about the weekend box office has finally paid off for me.
There you go. Higher or lower? It's anyone's game.
I like it.
Yes.
Not just because I won.
You did an amazing job. The Ring, yes. The Ring made $15 million. Still pretty good.
I got my money opening weekend.
No, mine too. Scary.
So I think it might be the last horror movie I actually saw.
You know, it's funny. You don't believe in ghosts, and then this horror movie scared the shit out of you. And not only that, but I remember The Ring was scary. Like, the beginning was terrifying with the two girls home by themselves. And then I think I lost it. Like, I quit being scared when she came out of the TV. It just... I mean, that's the end
that
of the movie.
That didn't scare you when she came out?
No. I thought the effects were cool, but anytime I see the actual ghost, then I quit being scared. When it's my imagination taking over, then I'm terrified. But once I actually see it, then I'm like, eh, no big deal. No big deal.
Yeah, I remember I saw it like a 10 o'clock showing, and it was like pouring rain and thunder and lightning. And yeah, it was just a bad time to go see a horror movie, I guess.
So you guys have any shout-outs or anything you want to kick on out there this week?
Yeah. I'm just the huge with Mr. Tony Tolada over at Sci-Fi Talk and Mr. Tim Byers over at thefullbleed.net. I did another episode of Everything Geek last week, and it was so fun and magical. We had a blast. I got fired up. I actually got angry over a couple of things. Had a good old time.
Like, more angry than Robbie Gate last week?
Not quite that angry.
That made me smile so much when I listened back to that.
Yeah.
I know. Listen, I'm like, I just lost this shit.
Yeah. So, for those of you that aren't aware, I was genuinely upset. Like, that wasn't an act. I was literally pulling my teeth out.
A pair of pliers.
I was that far gone in last week's
podcast. If you had been in the same room with me, you would have punched me in the mouth.
Probably. It would have got physical. Like Olivia Newton-John.
There would have been a tussle.
It would have been bad. I packed my angry eyes.
Gonna have a bad time.
Holy shit.
Well, cool. Everything's better this week. No,
we're all friends.
Yeah, no brawls this week.
We hugged it out.
Although David doesn't believe in ghosts, so he probably thinks we're all a bunch of morons. But
yeah.
I don't think you're morons. Yeah. Smart people think dumb things sometimes. I like Flash Gordon.
No, you don't.
It's probably worse than believing in ghosts.
That is one of the worst movies ever.
He's so good.
And for the record, I'm not saying I believe in ghosts. I'm just saying that some shit happened that I don't have a good explanation for.
There you go. There was a sudden gravitational pull that caused an optical illusion.
Yeah, there was a highly concentrated. Yeah, I was high on black mold.
Yeah. True.
Where we were huffing that stuff.
Crazy kids get your high anywhere.
Peeling it off the walls and letting it dissolve on your tongue like a little acid tablet. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it's
strange,
at.
Strange shit was afoot at the fucking New Orleans basement, let me tell you.
The Circle K.
I know. I so much wanted to say that. Well, don't forget to check out the other fine and fabulous podcasts on the Geek Legacy Network. We've got Justin and Stephen James with the Pixelated Podcast. I am newly converted. I've been listening every week for the past month and a half now, and have to say I'm addicted to these two guys. I don't get to listen to Justin enough on this podcast. I actually go out of my way to listen to that one too, and it's cool because I haven't had time to play games in so long, and I feel like I'm in the know from listening to these guys and what they have to say. So definitely check them out.
And Justin, you were in the best mood last podcast too on the Pixelated Podcast. You jumped through my radio at me with your excitement and your happiness.
Really? Yeah, you know, a lot of times you could tell it's recorded in the morning because you start, like, all tired and slow, and then you get amped up as the show goes, right?
Yeah.
And you can sometimes you can tell, but it's okay.
I was wide awake last week. I woke up at 6 instead of, I had been up for over an hour prior to recording the show.
Normally
I'm up for about 3 minutes before the show. I crawl out of bed in my Aquaman panties and I throw on my little headset and I go to town. That's how professional I am.
Yeah. That's pretty much how I picture it.
Too bad it's not a video podcast.
Oh. I was just going to say, yeah, I think that you'd get more subscribers if all the gamer girls got to see you in your undies.
I don't know.
You know,
I'm how you say a fat fuck.
Your Super Mario undies and your Link torn up t-shirt.
Yeah, my pixelated panties.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Ooh, I like that.
that's the after hours version of the pixelated podcast. Pixelated panty podcast. It's all about adult games, and it starts with like Leisure Suit Larry.
There you go, banging the bronze.
Oh yeah,
or the boys, whatever's available.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
First come, first serve.
Yeah, come a see, come a saw.
Mm-hmm. And how?
Also, check out. Those other guys
that read the books.
Yeah, there's that one too.
Like the funny papers. They read the comic funny strips.
They read the funny books there.
They got your Foxtrots and your Roses Rose.
I think we're obscuring the point, and the point of which is to listen to the Comic Corner podcast.
And to close out our podcast.
With Tyler and the Jerd. Check it out. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. and tell all your friends. You'll be glad you did.